Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hello, welcome to the city. I'm Terry Clifford, and today we've got everyone in mind, but we're going to focus on the women in the audience just a little bit. I am joined by Erica Cummings. Erica, you are with Morgan Stanley, and you are a CFP. Is that Certified Financial Planner?
You got it.
That's awesome. Yeah. How long have you been with Morgan Stanley?
It will be 17 years in April.
Oh, my goodness.
I know.
Wow. That's awesome. I always hesitate to do this, but I'm going to guess that you are somewhere in your early 30s.
Wow. You just made, I think, my year.
Oh, good. Okay. All right. Great.
Because I am somewhere in my early 40s.
Wow. That's, well, you wear it well.
Well,
I think women do these days,
well,
by the way.
This is just the best way to start a morning.
that's great. And I mention that because we're going to talk a bit about the generational way of looking at finances in your family. And we're going to do that from the viewpoint of women, because I'm going to go back to personally, because I am kissing 60 years old this year.
Well, you don't look it either.
Well, God bless you. My mom and dad on payday, and this, so we're talking about the 1960s and 1970s. I used to watch this. It was like choreography. They would clean everything off of their bed. Mm-hmm. They would have a series of maybe a dozen envelopes. They would walk in with their paycheck all cashed, and my mom worked full-time as well,
yep.
And they'd begin stuffing envelopes. And one was gas and electric, one mm-hmm. was more, you know, mortgage. It was, I used to just sit there yakking away, because I have always been someone who's, if I'm awake, I'm talking.
Sure.
and they were a captive audience.
Yeah.
But it always stayed with me. It always stuck with me as if that's the way it's supposed to happen. They were paying everything,
yeah,
including themselves. Because there was a savings account envelope.
Sure.
Before they were making any other plans for their money. And it was very much a 50-50 in my house.
That's great.
And it was only when I, you know, aged at least 20 to 25 years that I realized probably we may have been the only house on the street where that was the case.
Yes, especially back in that time.
And maybe it was why my mom was as prepared as she was only in that area when we lost our dad relatively early.
Yeah.
But let's talk a bit about what was your experience? Because if you found your way in financial planning,
mm-hmm.
it had to have come from what you saw at your either direction.
It absolutely did. So much like what you're saying during the 60s and 70s, one of the common themes was divorce. So I was born in 1975, and we were latchkey kids. I was 9 and my brother was 5 when my parents divorced.
Mm-hmm.
My dad owned a very successful business while we were growing up, and my mom took care of all the finances. So he would come home and hand her a check, and she would make sure that everything was distributed out and had savings, and she was very involved and very intact with the financial decisions. My father was actually the one who just worked, and he made the money. And so when they did get divorced, luckily, my mother had that firsthand knowledge on how to handle the household.
Sure.
It was extremely difficult at times, but she never let us see it. So we went along thinking everything was okay. Obviously, as I got older, she mm-hmm. let us in a little bit more behind the curtain as to how stressful it was at making sure that everything was taken care of. But she did it. And I grew up seeing this strong, independent woman who could manage everything. So she not only managed all the finances in the house, but she also managed the house from the inside out, whether it be mowing the lawn or having to fix a door or a cabinet. And she also really instilled in me to be independent. She didn't want me to end up alone or divorced, but if, heaven forbid, there was some sort of transition in my life, that I could always take care of myself. And so I went off into the world thinking this was common because most of my friends' parents were divorced and their moms were raising them in their homes. And so it wasn't until I became an advisor, I was 26 when I started, that little by little, every single year, I started to realize that this was not the case with every single family.
Wow.
Yes.
It's interesting because it is a contrast to the way I was growing up. Mm-hmm. I remember my mom lost her youngest brother very suddenly at age 40. Oh. His widow, I'll never forget this, she knew nothing about anything within the house, bills. And so my mom and dad had to pretty much swoop in along with her other brothers and sisters and try and shore her up and catch her up.
Absolutely.
Relatively quickly.
Yep.
And because there were four kids involved too. And I'll never forget the night the phone rang and I answered it, and there's my aunt, and she is just hysterical. And she is furious at the city of Auburn, which is where we were living, mm-hmm. because they had the nerve to try and pull one over on her. They were sending her bills for water. And everyone knows water's free. It comes out of the lake, right?
Oh, no.
And I said to myself, having listened to my parents say, shut that shower off.
Yeah.
What do you think? How water's free? Even I knew water wasn't free.
Yep.
And so I just said, Mom, Aunt Pat's on the phone and she thinks water's free.
Oh, gosh.
And I thought to myself, okay, I think it was at that moment I said to myself, yeah, I'm not going to find myself in Aunt Pat's shoes.
Yeah.
And she was in those shoes through no fault of her own.
No.
Because her parents took care of everything, and when they stopped, her husband took care of everything.
Well, and that's the other part, that I have this other viewpoint from my grandmother's, her situation. When my grandparents were raising a family, they were actually pretty non-traditional. My grandmother worked, and so did my grandfather. And my grandfather cooked and cleaned. We used to call him the Renaissance man. and they shared in all the duties in the household. But my grandfather definitely took care of every single bit of the finances. And he was 9 years older than her. And unfortunately, he passed away when he was 75. And my grandmother was only 66.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And so she had no idea what was going on. And it wasn't because my grandfather wouldn't have shared that information. And this is the part that a lot of people don't understand, is that it comes from a place of love.
Sure.
My grandfather was taking care of things to keep her protected. And he actually made really great decisions for her. But she didn't have an interest, and so therefore they didn't have a lot of that communication. And when he passed away, same thing. My mom and her sisters had to swoop in and figure everything out. And it really puts women at a significant disadvantage, because if the person that passed on, or if you get divorced, if you don't have the knowledge of what's there,
mm-hmm.
then you're constantly wondering if you have to be looking for something that you don't know you should be looking for.
Sure. And that's so key. I say that more now, I think, in the last 5 years than I have in my whole life.
Yeah.
I'm amazed that I don't know what I don't know.
What you don't know, exactly.
It's almost frightening when you're, you know, in whether it's health issues or financial issues or anything that you need that affects your daily life.
Yes.
And it's always an eye opener, and it always, I swear, falls on you like a brick wall, and you feel like an idiot because and you're thinking you're the only one.
Yeah, and you're not.
Of course not.
Yes.
Of course not. And to this end, you have begun a series of workshops to help women sometimes get up to speed, sometimes hone their skills, correct?
Absolutely. And, so,
in the financial world.
Absolutely. So the program that we developed was, it's about 2 years old now, and it was a labor of love. And it came from my 15 plus years at the time experience as an advisor, seeing couples come to me, and perhaps the wife was there the first meeting, but then she never came for the subsequent meetings. Or when she was there, she wasn't very engaged. And again, not because the husband was trying to keep anything from her or was talking over her, but they were just disconnected.
Sure.
And over the years, I noticed that each generation has a different reason for that disengagement. A lot of my older clients, it's just this unconscious bias that men should be taking care of it. Or it's this traditional role or fear or intimidation. This industry can be intimidating to everyone, male or female, and especially for women. And then my generation, it's about time.
Mm-hmm.
We, as working mothers especially, have a laundry list of to-dos on any given day, and it's just easier to delegate that component. And so I started to see either the husbands passing on with my older clients,
sure,
or divorces. And much like your aunt, they come to my office and they're just devastated. So on top of dealing with one of the most emotional transitions in life, whether it be a divorce or even if their husband is ill and can't take care of these,
right,
these finances anymore, they are destroyed emotionally from the actual situation. And then on top of it, they're scared to death because they're so overwhelmed. They don't know where they are. They don't know where to begin. And they don't know if they're going to be okay. And every one of them have that same fear. Am I going to be okay? And I just said something has to be done. And we have to start to empower women to be excited about taking care of themselves, to be excited about the power that knowledge brings. And how do we do that in an environment that they want to be in?
Sure, sure.
This industry is exciting to me. I love money. I love managing it. But it's not exciting to everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And your traditional industry lingo, if you will, is very male-centric. So it's very sports-like. Let's beat the market. Let's outperform. A bull is the mascot.
I never thought
for
of
the
that
financial
way.
Industry.
That's so true.
So it is very intimidating and very off-putting to women. Also, most of your traditional financial courses are taught in a classroom type setting where there's a person in the front of the room,
mm-hmm,
and they're speaking to you. It's typically both male and female participants, and women tend not to ask questions in that type of environment. They don't want to make themselves feel even more insecure by showing their vulnerability or their lack of knowledge. And a lot of times in those seminars, words like equity and outperformance and asset allocation and things that a lot of people don't truly understand.
Sure, you need a key, you know, to follow along.
Yes. And so when no one else is asking questions or the other people in the room seem to be grasping it, then the women just shut down.
Mm-hmm.
And so they leave having gained nothing. So we did a lot of preparation. We had focus groups. We talked to many different women of many different backgrounds, demographics, ages, in order to determine what type of environment we should be providing these workshops in. And so they're smaller.
Uh-huh.
We want to have a space in which women can conversationalize with each other and also feel comfortable with asking questions and know that no one's going to judge them.
That's great. That's perfect.
Everything we do is very engaging. So we're teaching, but we're also wanting participation. And we have the themes for the workshops based on overall wellness. So the one element that a lot of people, particularly women, don't connect is our physical health,
uh-huh,
and our emotional, mm-hmm, health and our financial health are all intertwined. If you're not physically well, then you're not going to be emotionally well. And of course, your finances are going to suffer. Same with your emotional health. That affects you physically and certainly can affect you financially. And financial stress can affect you physically and emotionally. So the workshops that we put together are making that connection between the fact that you have to give your financial wellness the same effort you give your physical and your emotional wellness.
That's interesting. I've always compartmentalized everything. Yeah. I've never seen them all connected in that way. But I guess now I'm going back in my mind thinking of the times when everything was clicking and they were all clicking together, and the times when they're not. And that's very interesting to me.
Yeah. Wow. They really can bleed into each other.
Sure.
And I always draw the analogy that when you look at the to-do list in a given day, we look at grocery shopping and laundry and mowing the lawn and we delegate out.
Sure.
For some reason, managing the finances ends up in that column instead of the column where physical and emotional health reside. We put a lot of time into making sure we go to the doctor and we take care of ourselves. Everywhere you look in media, it's what diet or what nutrition you should be eating.
Right, right.
Mindfulness, yoga, stress relief. And people don't realize that that financial component strongly affects your outcome in those two areas. And so we try to tie them together. And with the workshops, the most important thing, especially in the beginning, is to make sure that the women want to be there and they're engaged and they're excited, because it isn't the most exciting topic. We're also talking about potentially you being alone, which is also scary.
It's tough. Yeah.
And the reality is we live about 6 to 8 years longer than our male counterparts, and 80% of us will die alone, whether by choice or by circumstance.
Sure, sure.
So what we're trying to do is to, instead of making an even greater barrier by creating more fear,
right.
If I say to you, you're going to die alone and you better get going or else you're going to be a mess, you're going to say, okay, I don't want to be involved in this.
Am I paying for
this? I don't
this?
Need any more
really?
Stress. So instead, it's about, let's make this exciting.
Sure.
Let's connect money and love and power. Power for you to make decisions and choices in your life and empower you to be able to enjoy the process as opposed to looking at it as a task or something that I have to be afraid of.
How often do you do these seminars and how does one become involved in them?
So we do them monthly. However, they get packed quickly. So we have waiting lists and sometimes we have to throw an extra date in, especially if we really fill up fast.
Sure.
We have two workshops that piggyback off of each other. One is called Discovering Your Purpose. And that's where we really talk about women's unique strengths and how women have viewed their finances in the past and how to make it exciting and powerful for them in the future.
Okay.
And it really gets them engaged and excited. And then the next one, right on the heels of that, is demystifying your financial life.
Oh,
so
that's
taking
great.
This big bubble of CNBC.
Oh, yeah.
Constant noise.
Everything that runs on the bottom of the TV screen that
yes.
is just another language.
Yes. And the multitude of, you know, constant things being thrown at you and making it simple and making it understandable and also making you realize you can do this. It doesn't have to be that hard. And then we move into the wellness concepts. So we've had wellness events where we bring in licensed therapists that talk about how to take the stress out of your life, nutritionists that teach about how to eat well and how to provide energy for yourself throughout the day through the foods that you consume. We're looking at doing a health forum for women. So talking about women's heart health, the various different types of cancers that women have to deal with that men don't, and how
sure.
to detect and treat. And so we're doing these on a monthly basis with this whole idea of that flow, that everything should connect and everything should be healthy.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So is it a new one every month or?
So we have a couple that we rotate, the discovering your purpose and the demystifying your financial life. We run throughout the year a couple times a year.
Okay.
The other thing with women is the timing. So older women tend to have an easier time coming to lunch, where those of us that are still working have an easier time coming after work.
Okay.
So we will run them a couple times a year so that we can make sure that we provide for people's schedules. But we generally have one a month, and they're within those themes, that financial theme, physical theme, or emotional theme.
We're chatting with Erica Cummings, and she's a CFP with Morgan Stanley, and has developed these wonderful workshops and informational sessions that do focus primarily on women. And how, if you wanted more information, do you have it on the web, and mm-hmm. how would someone become involved in one of these workshops?
So the workshops are free, and you can get the information from our website. Unfortunately, our website is extremely long, so I would the URL is long.
Okay.
I would suggest Googling my name, Erica Cummings.
Okay.
It'll bring up our website. You could click right to there. Or my email address is erica.cummings@morganstanley.com. If you email me, we can put you on the list to receive all future invitations. Most of the workshops that we do, depending on the concept, are either in our conference room, which is in Linden Oaks, or we do them at various locations depending upon what the theme is. So if we do it on wellness, we might do it in conjunction with a hospital or with a particular nutritionist. And all the information can be provided in the invitations that we send out.
Is there a cost to these? Are they free?
They're free.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yes.
And do you have to be a customer of Morgan Stanley?
You do not.
No, so these are complete public services for women.
They are.
Unbelievable. This really is great.
Yeah.
So, selfishly.
Yes.
I'm going to say, a couple of weeks ago, I'm the world's biggest jinx. You have no idea.
Oh, no.
I think it was about 2 weeks ago, Thursday, I happened to get my statement because I was preparing things for my taxes. And I saw that my 401k had just flourished.
Yes.
And I took a picture of it and I sent it to my husband. Look at this. We're going to check yours when we get home. He doesn't know how to check his.
Yeah.
It's a whole nother story. And so the following Monday, it took a nosedive.
Yes.
And my husband said to me, don't ever do that again. That was really bad. Because you see, when we noticed what we had and when we got all full of ourselves, then we lost it. I go, oh, yeah. So it was our fault.
Absolutely.
That was our fault. We should never have done that.
Yeah.
And now the whole country has to
suffer because you looked at it. Yes.
Oh,
yes.
God.
Like my husband when he wears his jersey on a Sunday, but it wasn't the same jersey he wore the Sunday before. That's why his team lost.
It is just something deep-seated within us.
Yes.
Sometimes I think it's Irish. Sometimes I think it's Catholic. Sometimes I think it's Italian. Now I just think it's human, for crying out loud.
It is human. Yes, it is human.
But so I guess I'm asking for a little calm the fears.
Absolutely. So first of all, it's perfectly normal to be nervous.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
The stock market in the short term is schizophrenic at best. So it is not uncommon to have what we consider a correction.
Okay.
Meaning a 10% drop from its previous peak once a year. We have not had one since February of 2016. So it's been 2 years since we've had a correction.
Oh, wow.
It was due. And it's healthy. If we only have systemic growth with absolutely no drawback, think of a balloon.
Sure.
And you're just continuously putting air into the balloon. It feels great. The balloon's getting bigger. You're excited.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty. But at some point, that elastic is going to give. If we don't let a little air out of the balloon, it will pop. And when they pop, which we have had bubbles that have popped, whether
2008.
2008 was a huge one. We had the tech bubble back in the early 2000s. When they pop, they end up being much larger than these normal corrections that we see.
Sure.
What I always say is you have to remain patient. The market is up approximately 75% of the time, and it's down about 25% of the time. If you have a proper asset allocation, which you definitely need to put together with a professional, you
sure.
need someone that puts the plan together with you to determine what you need in the long term, what you're comfortable with, and what your objectives are. If you have a good asset allocation with a diversified set of assets,
mm-hmm.
you just have to not look, believe it or not. You have to try not to look. There is actually a correlation between the amount of time that you look at your portfolio and the negative effects it has on the outcome.
Oh my gosh, isn't that something?
Because the more you look, the more you feel compelled to do something.
Right, absolutely.
And really, the best thing to do is nothing.
And aren't we weird? Because when we get a pain here or there that we know isn't right,
yes,
we say, oh, it'll go away. I think I'll take an aspirin or a Tums. We're so quick to say, I'm not going to look. I'm not going to do anything about that. Everything will be fine.
Yes.
Now, when we should be saying that, instead we are focused on that computer and we're staring at it and we're wondering why those numbers keep going down and not going back up. What is wrong with us? Well, can you develop a worksheet,
yeah,
a workshop that will answer that?
Well, I do. I use this analogy a lot because when you look at the medical profession, uh-huh, it has a lot of similarities to the financial profession. So I always tell my clients, and I tell anybody, that they should be working with a professional. 80% of what we do has nothing to do with picking out the proper investments or timing the market, because it doesn't work. Even the smartest people on Wall Street cannot time the market. 80% of what we do is helping hold your hand through the tough times.
Sure.
Making sure you're not greedy through the good times.
Mm-hmm.
Making sure you're spending the right amount. Making sure you're sticking to your plan. All of these are what we call behavioral management issues. It's not whether or not you picked ABC fund over DEF fund.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is, you want to make sure that the conversations that you're having are similar to what you would have with your doctor. So let's say you did have that pain, and it turns out, unfortunately, that you have to have surgery.
Sure.
If you went to the doctor and you said, can you just explain to me what this surgery is going to be like? If the doctor said to you, don't worry about it, I got it, you're going to be fine. You would say, no, that's not good enough.
Yeah.
But you also don't want the doctor to say, okay, in year 6 of my residency, we pulled this book out, and on page 500 is your surgery. It's 250 pages, and we're going to go through each line item. You don't want to know how thick the incision's going to be.
No.
What you want to be told is, you're going into the surgery, Terry. This is how you're going to feel when you come out. This is the recovery period. This is some of the complications, but they're very rare. This is what you're going to feel 6 weeks after. And then this is when you're going to be right back to normal. This is the success rate, so on and so forth.
Sure.
You have enough knowledge to feel secure about the decision that you're making.
Right.
But it's not so much that you feel completely snowed. And it's also not lacking in knowledge to where you walk away saying, I don't even know what's happening to me.
Right.
And you wouldn't do that.
Sure, sure.
For your medical health. So you shouldn't do that with your financial health either. You should have a partner that is going to explain it in a language that you can understand, so that when something like what's happened the last week happens,
mm-hmm,
you can have a conversation.
That's great. Yeah.
And that planner will say to you, you're going to be fine. We're going to stick this out and explain to you the tenets of good investing.
Sure. That's great. That's awesome. Oh, Erica, this is, well, it really is priceless for women. And you know what? If I had it to do all over again, I would have dragged my husband right along with me.
Yeah.
He's one who will always say to me, oh, no. My eyes glaze over when we talk about money. You take care of it. I was telling a friend a couple minutes ago that what I ended up doing was going online and finding a book called I'm Dead, Now What?
Yeah.
And it's, are you familiar with that book?
I am, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I have filled out all the pockets. I have put all the information in there. I put all the passwords in there.
That's awesome.
And that's as close as I can come to getting him to acknowledge that one day this may be on his plate.
Yes.
And that's all he needed to know, was that now he knows where that book is, and he hopes he never has to grab it.
So that is a perfect description of what we recommend to our clients. We put together a binder for them, and the tabs our insurance and taxes and retirement plans and so on. And we help them to fill that binder with the actual documents.
Yes.
So you want your actual will in there and your actual power of attorney. I am in the same situation as you. As you can imagine, I take care of all the finances.
Oh, sure.
It just makes sense.
Yeah.
My plan was always, well, if I die, I have a partner at work. We've been working together for 17 years. You go to Fred, my partner. That was the plan.
Yep.
Well, I started to realize that Fred, my partner, would say to Darren, where's the life insurance? Where's all the mortgage information?
Oh, sure.
And I realized that I'm a pretty organized person. He knows where I do all of this in my office, and we have file cabinets and everything is stowed away. So he would probably have a pretty good idea of where to start, but he wouldn't know where everything is.
Right.
Or he wouldn't know what he doesn't know.
Right, right.
So we put the binder together.
Oh, great.
The binder for a lot of our clients, as much as we may try to get everyone engaged, not everyone is going to be jumping up and down with excitement to learn about their money.
Sure.
As much as I don't understand it, they may not be as excited. To have that binder is critical.
That's great. Yeah.
It is critical because you can feel secure that your husband in this situation will have his resource to go to your planner and say, okay, what do I need to do?
Here's the rest of it.
There is, whenever we've put these together, and for the most part, it's the other way around.
Right.
It's the wife that is excited about the binder. There is a level of relief. You can almost see it in their shoulders when this is done. And they don't need to know all the specifics of what's in there.
Mm-hmm.
They just need to know it exists. The mere fact of its existence makes things calmer for them. Also, as you get older, it's important that your kids know where it is.
Yes, absolutely.
And I say the same thing about my mom.
Yeah.
She's the one who watches our children when we ever get a chance to take a vacation alone. Not often,
uh-huh.
But when we do, if something was to happen to us, my mother would be the one that would be taking care of our kids. So she knows where the binder is. Anyone that would potentially have to step in and take care of your affairs should know where the binder is. And people get nervous because they don't want to tell. Money is taboo.
Right.
Nobody wants to talk about it.
Right.
Actually, of all the topics you could possibly conceive, it is the most taboo. We are more comfortable talking about everything else.
Isn't that amazing?
It is amazing.
Yeah.
So when people think about that binder, they think, oh no, I'm going to have to tell people what I have. You don't. They just need to know where it is.
Where they can find it if they need to.
Exactly. And so at the very least, for every single person that's not engaged, whether it be that wife or that husband or the kids or whoever is not aware of where everything is, there should be a central location and it should be updated on a regular basis.
That's great.
We do live in a technological world where usernames and passwords change.
Oh, absolutely.
So
yes.
You should be keeping that up to date and making sure that people know where it is.
That's great.
Yeah.
Erica, thank you. This half an hour has flown by. This is great information and it's available for everyone.
Yes.
So once again, just Google your name, Erica Cummings.
Yes. Or email me at erica.cummings@morganstanley.com and we can put you on the email list and you'll have all future information and invitations.
That's great.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. I appreciate
it. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You bet.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.